Okay, I had a bit of a wrestle with God about what I should speak about tonight. You know, sometimes you want to speak about something, and God says, now I want you to speak about something else. And quite often I get that, and at the end, God always wins. Amen? So today I'm going to speak about the Christian and good works. I was just saying to God, you know, but Lord, it's a Sunday evening service, and everyone who comes on a Sunday evening, usually they're all the committed ones, and they're all the ones that do, most of them, who will do all the works. But God kept giving me scriptures. And so at the end I said, yes, Lord, I'll speak about the Christian and good works. So the Bible tells us to encourage one another towards love and good deeds. Not just love or just good deeds. Love and good deeds. And this one will open up, first of all, with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, when we understand both love and good works, then it's much easier to take risks, isn't it? Because what stops us sometimes from doing good works is fear. We can have the best ideas, the greatest ideas, but fear can stop us in our tracks. And I don't know about you, but in my earlier years as a Christian, there was many times where God would put something on my heart, and fear would stops me. Because I, you know, we would think, what if I fail? What happens if I fail? What happens if I do it wrong? Or what happens if people laugh at me? You know, I could say something wrong and people would laugh at me. Or what if I make a mess of it? And these things will come to your mind. And I remember the first time I was asked to, I done home group. All these things came to my mind. What if I say something wrong? What about if people laugh at me? And so that fear, which of course comes from the enemy, fear doesn't come from God, will stop us in our tracks from doing anything from God. And these can happen. We can do it wrong. We can, you know, we can say something wrong. These things can happen. But when we understand love and good works, we can say, so what? If I fail at a good attempt, then I fail. It's a good attempt. I will still be loved, and I am confident of that. We can say, he or she knows me and still loves me. I cannot tempt my idea. It's a godly idea, and that's the most important thing. It's a godly idea. And then this makes possible one of the goals of the Christian life, which is good works. And as Paul discovered in the lives of the Corinthian Christian, such good works do not always come naturally or automatically. But Paul encourages his readers to both love, number one, and good works. And today we're going to examine the matter of good works which Christians are to do. The Bible tells us that Christians are to do good works. And we can look right through the New Testament, especially about good works. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand the purpose of good works, because many, many people misunderstand the purpose. They are not done to buy or earn our way into heaven. And I get surprised when I talk to people, how many people still believe that God is the one that's going to decide at the end if they're going to heaven or not by their works, by what they've done. There's a bloke at work who I've been witnessing to for a long time, many years. We've worked in the same panel for a long time. But he believes in space and UFOs, and he gives me all these websites. I said, I don't even use the website, so don't give me any. He believes in crazy things. Brought up as a Catholic, but he doesn't believe in God. And so the other day, he gave me a big shock. He came at work and said, I want your advice. I said, yeah, what can I do for you? I thought he's going to tell me he's going to become a Christian. He said, well, they opened a new church next to where I live, St. Joseph. And I want to buy him a big statue, he said, so they can remember every time people walk in, they can remember that I've given him this statue. I said, and what's that going to do, giving him a statue? You think God is going to, you know, give you some brownie points and prepare you when you die? He said, well, I thought that's the right thing to do. So I had to really explain to him that that would not do anything for his salvation. And the only way for his salvation is to give his life to Christ. So it's very hard to get through to this bloke. He doesn't believe, and yet he wants to buy a statue of St. Joseph. He said, what I want you to tell me is how much would the statue cost? I said, well, I have no idea. No idea how much this statue. Depends if you want to do it in gold, if you want to do it in stone, or in wood. So he wasn't happy about my answer. I've explained to him why I'm against statues, and in fact, the next day I happened to be working him again. God incidents. So I went prepared with all the scriptures about idols and how they carry him on their shoulders and take him around the streets. And he was actually shocked. He said, oh, well, I have to think about this again. So maybe some good came out of it. He retired 2 weeks ago, just keeping him in prayer every day, that he will not misunderstand good works. We see with Mary MacKillop today becoming a saint. They're making her a saint because of her good works. They're judging her. To me, they're judging her by her works, by what she's done. But God judges us by our hearts and not by our works. And it's very sad to me. And this is what people kept telling me at work this morning because I happened to be working. So I shouldn't be here. You should be, you know, celebrating Mary MacKillop. You know, and I said, you know, God doesn't judge us by what we do on earth. He judges us by what, when we give our hearts to him. She was a good lady, and that's great. What that's going to do, this is what I keep telling people, what this is going to do is taking people's focus from Jesus, who is our only mediator, as 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5 says, Jesus, the only mediator, is going to take people's focus off Jesus as a mediator into Mary MacKillop. That's what's going to happen. People are going to pray to Mary MacKillop as a mediator between them and God, which is very sad. And the other thing that's going to do, put a lot of money into the church's coffers. But unfortunately, this is the way people see it, that we are saved by works. See, we can do nothing to receive the favor of God. It's only received through faith, of course, as you all know. And that faith, what he has given us anyway. Because the Bible says that as we give our hearts to him, he gives us a measure of faith. So the faith that we have is being given to us anyways. So there is no question we are saved through faith and not works. Let's just have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Yet, as you know, as God's people, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Each one of us was created to do good works. But again, we need to be careful that we don't misunderstand what good works means. Let's have a look at one more verse before we go on. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, just one verse lower. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. So we are God's workmanship. God made us what we are. That's why we have nothing to boast. What I am today is what God made me to be. What you are today is what God made you to be. And that's why we cannot boast. And this new life does not come from a person's good works, of course. Good works are possible, and indeed they will flow out of the new life that has come to us through God's grace. So why then are we to do good works? Sorry, my throat is giving me trouble all day. Why then are we to do good works? Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And also, I'd just like us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. Oh, sorry, I think I got the wrong. From sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter shares three specific steps here, which we should be doing, which we are to follow. First of all, in living good lives before God. So that's the most important, to be living good lives before God. Also, before the world, and also with one another. God desires that we live holy and honorable lives, that our conduct may be observed as good by outsiders. In fact, they should not only see our good works, but our honest conduct should result in their glorifying God. And as Jesus said, we read that verse in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What amazing things. They will glorify. You know, we had a Turkish family across the road from us, Muslims. And they used to say, especially to Sue, the ladies, Aliha, she used to say, I love the way you do things. I love the way you help people. I love the way you live. You know, to me, she was glorifying God, not glorifying us. When people give us praise and they saying good things about us. To me, they are praising God without knowing it. You know, how often someone says to you, you know, I like the way you live. I like, you know, I'm sure all of you heard it at work or maybe at school or with your neighbors. I love the way you live. And she used to say, I'd love to live like you. But she was a Muslim and unfortunately, she wouldn't change. But her words to me, as she's spoke those words to me, she was praising God. And that's what I believe this verse is saying. That people will praise God because of our conduct, because of the way we live. So the Bible tells us, they should not only see our good works and honest conduct, it should result in them glorifying God. And that gives me a pleasure to even speak and live a holy life the way God wants me to live so others can praise God. And there is a verse which I couldn't find in the Bible. I really wanted to share it with you from the New King James Version. If you know where it is, please just tell me. Which says, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How can we do that? The Bible tells us by living holy and honorable lives. Good works So to that question, to the first question, why then are we to do good works? The first answer is because they bring glory to God. As we do good works, they bring glory to God. And secondly, they can prepare unbelievers to be receptive to the gospel. They can prepare unbelievers to be receptive to the gospel. Also, thirdly, the good works demonstrate the living nature of our faith. Good works demonstrate the living nature of our faith. As Christians, that should be natural to us to live like that. You know why every time somebody upset me at work, if I go off all the time, what are they going to see in me? If you go off at school or with your neighbors, every time the dog barks and you go in there and tell them off because of the dog, what are they going to think of you? See, remember, people are watching you. People are watching you. And they'll know whether you're genuine or not. There's a bloke, again, who I've been witnessing to for a long time. And he lives with a... He was brought up as a Catholic, but he doesn't believe in God. And he now lives with a lady who is Jewish. And, of course, every time I try to witness, he said, my life is too complicated. She's a Jewish. I'm brought up as a Catholic. We could never agree on religion. But on Friday, well, now I don't work with this person, very rarely, he came and he said to me, he calls her wife. It's not his wife. It's his friend, whoever. They live together. And he said, my wife wants a favor from you. I said, I don't even know his wife. I've never met her. I said, yeah, if I can help her. He said, she wants you to pray. She asked me purposely to tell you to pray for her dog. The dog has got cancer. He's got 2 days to live. The vet told him 2 days to live. And she'll try anything. So I always talk about you with her. And so she told me, okay, you ask him to pray for this dog that he might live. Now, I don't know what God will do with that. I prayed. And I said, well, God asked us to bring our requests before him, and I'll bring your dog before God. And now I don't know whether this dog is dead or alive. But I don't know. But what gave me pleasure that he must be talking to his, what he calls wife, about me. And for her to say to him, ask him to pray for my dog. I don't know about you, but that does something to me. It does. So good works demonstrate the living nature of our faith. Let's have a look at James chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Very strong words, isn't it? Very strong words. Here, James in these verses reveal the relationship between faith and works. Faith without works is worthless to James here, isn't it? Faith without works is worthless to James. Faith cannot be just a mental assent or intellectual belief. For James, salvation depends on the word received and obeyed. Now let us define works for a moment. The scripture speaks about works in two categories. There are works of persons, which are done in the flesh. And there are the works which are done with the assistance of the Spirit, which brings glory to God. The works of the flesh are mentioned quite frequently in the New Testament, as you know. For example, Paul speaks of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. We can have a look at them. They're the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's the conclusion there. The conclusion is very dangerous. But in verse 21, that such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul teaches that we are saved by grace through faith and not by our works, which we read before in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, the works of the Spirit do not originate with us. They do not come from our lust or flesh. They flow from the Holy Spirit. Paul teaches that we were created to live by such good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which we read earlier. Now, in contrast to the works of the flesh, Paul tells us that the works or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. So let's keep reading 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. What a contrast that is. Three verses further up. These are just two verses further down. What a contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. It is, of course, the work or the fruit of the Spirit to which James refers to when relating to faith to works. He's not calling us back to live in the flesh or to win the favor of God with our own works, which are done in the flesh. He's instructing us to walk in the Spirit by faith. And as we do, our lives will manifest the works or the fruit of the Spirit. Without these deeds of the Spirit, faith is dead, says James. Now, what good works can we do? There's many, many good works we can do. Many. Some good works are spiritual in nature. For example, telling others of God's grace. That's the most important good works we can do. So we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are to declare the praises of him. That's good works, declaring the praises of God. God has called us and elected us to be his chosen people. We are members of his body, the church. He is the head, and we are the various parts of his body. And we, through faith in Christ, are God's chosen people. What a wonderful thing to be able to say, I am a child of the King. That's amazing. You know, many people would probably laugh at us saying that. I am a child of the King. But that's what we are. That's what we are. And if they look through the scriptures, they will find that they too can become a child of God, a child of the King. All of us have both the joy and the responsibility of serving Christ and each other. There's nothing better than being able to serve someone. You know, as we serve, it's a joy to us. Might make the other person happy, might not. But the joy, we receive that joy. As we are able to help someone, whether it might be just giving some food to someone, whether it might be just spending some time with someone, visiting, making a meal, whatever it might be, it's a joy. Because if we don't feel that joy when we're serving, then we're in the wrong business. Then we're doing it by force. But that joy automatically comes into our heart as we serve others. Just want us to close by looking at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It's Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 15 and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Doesn't that make you feel God, knowing that God is pleased as we do God's work, as we love others and do good works? May we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we do thank you, Father, again for this evening, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, who serves you so much, Lord. Not only just serves you, but serve you with joyful hearts, Lord God. Serve you because they love you, Lord God, and they love one another. Lord, I just pray they will continue, Lord God, to encourage us, Father, to do even more, Lord God. And if we're not serving yet, Lord God, Lord, then we will start to serve. That others may see what we do, Lord. And as they see, they will praise you, Lord God. They might thank us, Father, but as they thank us, they are praising you. So, Lord, let that be our heart's desire, Lord God, to see people that don't even know you, Lord God, praising you, lifting you up, Father, without even knowing it, Lord. But I'm sure that as we are serving, we are planting seeds, Lord God. So help us to continue to plant those seeds, Father, everywhere we go, Lord God. Lord, as we leave these doors, Lord God, that's our mission field, Lord God, starts. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for each person that is here, Lord God, and that you will bless each one, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.